And so the detective dude whose name I can't remember.
Miller.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Don't forget Miller.
Barney Miller in space. So they are.
Barney Miller did not shoot that many people.
No.
Well, not we didn't see.
No, he left him that for Abe Pagoda.
Exactly. Fish. Why do I remember so much about Barney Miller, but I don't remember as much about...
Oh, if you want to talk about Barney Miller, I will go.
That's a whole other episode, Scott. I once bumped into Barbara... You know, anyway, sorry.
I thought that episode where they talked about Jack Sue dying... But I was unclear about whether it was really Jack Sue or whether it was his character on the show. I was very confused when I was a little kid, and I watched that episode of Barney Miller. Barney Miller is the topic of tonight's podcast.
That was a neat choice because they didn't write the character out by saying he died. They just came out of character and said, man, we love Jack Sue.
Yeah.
He died, so Detective Yamada isn't on the show anymore. Sorry, everybody.
I kind of wish they had done that about Phil Hartman on News Radio, actually.
Mm.
But they sort of did, actually, right? Because he dies off camera, and then they talk about him, and it's very clear they're talking about Phil Hartman and not about his character, but still. Anyway.
I once had to elbow Barbara Billingsley out of the way. I'm serious. Does that count?
I met June Foray.
Oh, hey.
I don't know. We're completely off track now. Anyway.
Yes,
anyway. Scott, I had a dream where we did an entire sub-episode that was just us yelling about this book, and then we would return to the regular episode and say, just go get the sub-episode if you want to hear us rant. Go ahead.
Like that.
So at the zombie scream, go to the sub-episode. So this book
for
is...
For the Barney Miller sub-episode.
Yes.
Press 4.
Exactly.
And we are off. We're still online on the air, but we are no longer deep in the episode part.
Oh dear.
And I want to thank everybody on the we have some very well read people in the
in
the chat room.
Thanks all everybody.
One of my favorite podcasts or favorite comments is Brando saying, I like Monty.
Yay. Yay. That was my favorite comment too.
We all like Monty. I went to college with Monty. Among the many people that I've been that I went to college with who are on the Incomparable, like Monty and Ben Boychuk and Steve Lutz and Greg Noss. We all went to UC San Diego together. So,
has Phil not been on the podcast?
Phil, yes. And Lisa Schmeiser's husband, Phil Michaels, also went to college with us, but he has not been on the podcast because we've yet to do our baseball episode.
He
was in the school of R.A. Dickey for an hour.
Oh, yeah. He was in the good.
He was in the school of animal husbandry, wasn't he?
Yeah. Maybe he can be on the American McCarver podcast if that ever happens, but talking about sports stuff. But it's funny because, of course, Lisa likes sci-fi and comic books and stuff like that. And when they go in the comic book shop together and Phil is there and shows no interest because he's not interested in that sort of thing, all the other males in the comic book shop, and it's all males other than Lisa, just stare daggers into him. It's like, there are so few of these people, and you stole her, and you don't even appreciate it.
What's wrong with you?
And I love that. I think that's great. But yes, exactly.
Yeah. So we got to get. I need to find another Futurama person. I've got Andy. I'll recruit Dean Putney from. He's a Boing Boing guy and a very nice fella. The season premiere was last night with, I thought, episodes that were okay. I thought they were definitely more like the older previous seasons. But yeah, I want to get that together because I think, I mean, so we'll have a, it's funny to me that of the core Incomparable group that there aren't more Futurama fans.
I mean, I've seen all the episodes and all. I just am
but
not.
But you don't really want to talk about it. You don't want to talk about it.
I think it's good. I feel like there's got to be somebody else who feels more strongly about it than I do.
Yeah.
I might be able to host that episode and just be a host and interject occasionally, but let you guys go because I make Futurama references all the time. I like we're from Universe A. Well, then we're from Universe 1. That's one of my favorite jokes.
The joke we use around the house is each pound of which weighs over 10,000 pounds.
Gah.
From season 1. Gah. Yeah. I sat behind Lauren Tom. She swears very well in person, too. Oh. They had to check out her swearing to make sure that what she was saying in Chinese wasn't actually obscene. I don't know what she actually says.
And she had to teach it to John DiMaggio so that Bender could repeat it later in the episode.
You know, the thing that's great about seeing John DiMaggio in the flesh is that Bender is actually written for him. I thought it was a character, but once I was in a room with him, I realized he is, in fact, Bender.
The real value is to go back and watch Pirates of Silicon Valley and realize that Steve Ballmer is Bender. It's not Bender is in charge of Microsoft.
Wow.
Bender. It's Anthony Michael Hall and Bender running Microsoft.
Wow. So I have a crackpot theory about the alternate universe episode of Futurama. And I'm going to tell it to you and tell me if you think I'm crazy. The alternate people all sound exactly like their regular universe people. Earth 1 sounds like Earth A. Except I think the professor is being done by a different voice actor. I think one of them is Billy West and one of them is John DiMaggio.
I saw an interview with them, or like a YouTube video where John DiMaggio, maybe it was their auditions, or they apparently this is a thing with them where they try to one up each other and do one another's voices.
Yeah, they can both do this.
That's right. They can do this. So maybe that was it.
Maybe if John DiMaggio was doing the alternate universe professor and just doing his Billy West's professor of the there's an announcer on some commercial right now, and I swear it's Billy West, or there's a voiceover guy who is trying to sound like Billy West, and I can't decide whether Billy West needs the money or if there's just a guy who's ripping off his voice.
He got to work.
He's got to work.
He needs the money. Billy West is a deeply strange man.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen an interview with him that is strange.
Yeah, have you heard Rob Paulsen's podcast?
I haven't.
No. It's great. He gets all his animation voiceover buddies together.
Oh.
And then like Maurice LaMarche is a guest on one, and they do Pinky and the Brain cursing at each other. Super fun.
You know, Maurice LaMarche, I love his any voice he does where he's basically Orson Welles. I love that so much.
Green.
Did you see and he does he does Captain Kirk too, right? He does doesn't he do a Great Shatner? Isn't that Maurice LaMarche who does the Great Shatner? I think it is.
Frank Welker, when I went to the Futurama reading, I was hoping he'd be there because I want to know what he looks like, and he does like every animal voice. Oh, he does what's the character's name?
He does Nibbler.
Nibbler, but he's well known for doing animal voices. Like he's
the big every dog voice. Barking in a movie is Frank Welker.
It's Frank Welker, but he wasn't there. It was very sad. Trust McNeil was there, who does I think every female voice except for Amy and Leela on Futurama.
Right. I'm in the chat room. I'm going to paste a YouTube link that is second annual Talk Like William Shatner Day, which is a Shatner off between Maurice LaMarche and Kevin. What's his name? Kevin Pollack, who is like the Shatner.
He does a great Shatner.
He does a great Shatner. But LaMarche is great too. He really is great at doing Shatner. So you should go.
Good
watch
times.
That.
Well, I'll pull some of this up. Yeah. So we'll I'll get the Futurama. Monty, do you want to be in a Futurama episode? It sounds like
possibly.
You're interested in it. Okay, I might put an invitation. I'll check with John Seth because I'll get my ringers in.
Yeah.
I'm assembling a team.
It's like the A team
in the field.
Futurama.
I'll do explosives.
Who will drive the car?
I'll do Hypnotoad.
Have you guys seen this video from the Emerald City Comic Con of a bunch of these voice actors doing the radio play of Star Wars?
Doing Star Wars, and they all do insane. Every scene, they change voices, and they're all insane voices.
It's fantastic. I just pasted a link in the chat.
In the chat room.
Yeah. So you get Darth Vader as done by Bubbles from Powerpuff Girls.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Amazing.
This has been very, very entertaining. Thank you, Jason.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it was good. I made a final reading run and got those two done, and liked Among Others. I liked Among Others partly because I'm a big Ursula K. Le Guin fan, especially her earlier stuff, and I liked the treatment of her. I liked the whole, like, you know, am I being George Orr here? Am I rewriting from Heaven, A Lathe of Heaven? You know, am I rewriting
history by
Will Shushing? It was a good, like, oh, I'm like, oh, that's what this book reminded me of, the fairy thing. Like, that's what that reminded me of, and she knows we're thinking about it, so she just makes it explicit because of the milieu. I like that.
The thing in Among Others that most resonated with me was the introduction of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
Which the narrator gets as a gift, thinks looks stupid, doesn't read it until the last day, and then reads it and loves it. I got Hitchhiker's blind in a airport bookstore, not knowing anything about it. Just, I need a book that has a spaceship on it.
Greg Noss says that his like mom brought it home from the library for him. And he was like, oh, okay, I'll read it. And then it blew his mind. It changed his life. I had a friend recommend it to me. Strangely enough, a girl I liked in high school.
What?
Who recommended The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy to me. Unreal. I don't think she... Did she even read anything that was science fictional ever? And yet she knew about that book. So the fairies wanted me to read the book. And so she was born so that I would like her, even though she didn't like me. That wasn't necessary. All I needed to do was be interested in her so that she could recommend the book to me.
Or she was thinking, oh, God, this nerd wants to talk to me again.
I read one thing that he might like, and maybe he'll stop talking to me if I tell him to read a book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now I like Dirk Gently more than Hitchhikers.
I would like to know that apparently our friend Calibellis likes to listen to The Incomparable on very long drives and listen to episode 42 while driving through across the country. So that's nice. I like it when people listen to our episodes.
Yes.
I listened to her. I was just doing a long drive. I drove from Pennsylvania to D.C. and I listened to The Incomparable. Which one? What was the last episode on?
Game of Thrones?
No. I didn't do Game of Thrones. It was the... it was the geeky sitcom.
Geeky sitcoms where we made fun of you.
Didn't talk. Yeah, A, you made fun of me, which is always good. That's always good for ratings. And B, you didn't talk about Big Bang Theory really at all, which I was sort of surprised by, but then I realized that was a good idea.
At the end.
Yeah, but that was good.
Debated it briefly.
I liked it. I thought the diversion into Futurama, MST3K were actually perfectly reasonable in the context of that.
I kind of wished... I mean... It was great. I kind of wished that I said, don't talk about that now because that should be a whole episode. But we just went with it and that was fine. And then I almost wished that we had gone for an hour so I could have just pulled it out and said, again, sub-episode about MSG3K. But we'll just come back to MSG3K.
Yeah, I'd like a little more prep because I haven't watched them for so long. I want to go back and there was some stuff I remember and I'll
studying.
Prep for it.
Yeah. It's hard work doing a podcast. You got to watch MST3K episodes.
I know it's terrible. I got to read good books and watch television and movies. It's horrible.
It is.
It's horrible.
We do it for the listeners.
That's true.
Sometimes you have to read bad books.
So
it's true.
Yeah.
Scott.
You know, I forgot. I was
going to take one for the team.
I still want to see if I haven't asked Phil Lamar, but I think we should find a topic for him and see if we can get him on just as our stunt guest.
Glenning.
Because he'd be fun. Well, he'd be fun. He likes these things. He's a geek.
That's still Glenning.
Yeah.
It is Glenning, but he is
a geek. For the Jonathan Colton podcast that they recorded last night that's going to run next week while I'm on vacation, what I really wanted was, since I'm one degree of separation from Jonathan Colton through Merlin Mann, what I really wanted to do was have... My dream was to have Jonathan Colton call in to the end of the podcast and just do the Annie Hall thing and say, "Hi, this is Jonathan Colton. You know nothing of my work."
But yes. Oh, believe me.
I am a serious artist, damn it.
That would have blown everyone's minds.
But instead, that's going to be one of those episodes that I just Greg's editing it, so I will have nothing to do with it at all. I wasn't on it. I didn't edit it. It's like there are like two or three of those episodes that I literally am listening to it for the first time when it's on. Be like, oh, it's an episode of The Incomparable. I wonder what they'll say, which I never get to do. So that's cool.
It's all about you.
So.
Turns out.
Horatio 8 says, who edited the... the Jonathan Colton episode. Greg Noss is going to edit that one. Yeah. It'll be next weekend after. We'll do this one. I'll edit this tomorrow. Jesus Christ episode. That's episode 100 where we... no. Yeah.
Beep barp. Sorry. Don't play too much Let's Sing.
Good news, everyone. Okay, well,
too much Let's Sing.
This was great. I thank the great 5x5 listening audience again, and I'm going to turn off the thing. This ends our broadcast day. Thank you for watching. Stay tuned for infomercials or more likely reruns of old 5x5 episodes. Good night.
Beep.